Thanks so much for listening to this clip of Reception Perception. New episodes release Tuesdays and Thursdays.
This is Reception Perception, the show. Now, James Coe and Matt Harmon.
Going to Chicago here, I can't believe I saw this today. They're asking whether or not Caleb Williams is going to continue to be the starter. I mean, all right, I guess. I mean, who else we got back here for Chicago that you're going to throw in there over Caleb Williams? The only thing I could say is, you don't want to go full David Carr here, where he's just getting absolutely annihilated each and every game, right? And certainly the last three games for Caleb has been real bad. But I don't know. What's your thoughts here on Chicago? They got any hope here, or are they just cooked for 2024?
Oh, I mean, they're for sure cooked right now.
Wow, damn. Dude.
Oh, come on, man. It's beyond over for the Bears, honestly. And it's just, yeah, I think we're having to ask ourselves really hard questions if we're in the building there that really, I honestly, questions as you just posed there. Are the reps going to be more harmful than good for the rest of the season for Caleb Williams? You know, I think I'm not the people that run the Bears, obviously, and I'm actually not even sure how engaged the people that run the Bears are with this whole product in terms of ownership and things like that. But if I owned this team, my number one thing would be like, I really don't care about anything else the rest of the season except just trying to salvage something here with the quarterback, because I'm not trying to ruin this guy. Because if you just think about this, if you were to say, all right, someone like, let's say a consulting firm wants to talk to James Coe.
Yeah.
James, we want you to tell us how to ruin a really good quarterback prospect. And I don't care, like, people out there can retcon, you know, the Caleb Williams scouting profile and generational prospect and all that bullshit. I don't care about that. I'm just saying, like, he was objectively a really good quarterback prospect.
Yep.
Objectively, I think a great quarterback prospect.
Yeah.
He was picked first in the draft. So let's just get that out of the way. So now, let's just say here, they come to you and they say, James Coe, I want you to tell us, like, give us the blueprint. How do we ruin a really good quarterback prospect?
Would you
not tell them to do basically exactly what Chicago has done?
Yep, I absolutely would. You're right. Give them a bad offensive line. Give them an offensive coordinator who has a history of not being able to fix a bad offensive line. You give them a defensive head coach who, you know, again, has not had a handle on the offensive side of the football his entire tenure while in Chicago. Yeah, 100%. I mean, the leadership structure is not good. The offensive line is not good. And you would need to fix either one of those two things. You could either have a great offensive line and crappy coaches, or you can have a great coach and a crappy offensive line. But if you've got both, you're right, 100%. You're asking your quarterback to fail.
Yeah, and you know, those are the big things. And it, by the way, now it's a coach that there's just almost no chance that Eberflus survives this.
He's done.
Yeah, he's done. That's what I'm saying. Like, he's done. It's over for this year. And I think all these guys are probably going to get fired in terms of the coaching staff. And I'd even look at the GM too. Because the whole point of and this is true for Joe Douglas and the Jets as well. You know, you're supposed to be a trenches guy. You're supposed to be an offensive line guy. This is your biggest problem.
Makes no sense.
Not great. You know, I also think they've put way too much responsibility. Like, I mean, this, I don't know Matt Eberflus, and I'm sure he's a great guy, but there were so many times where even like the draft day phone call, you know, when they call Caleb Williams and they draft him, like Eberflus seems like he's like in awe of Caleb Williams, you know, like he's like, oh, this guy, like he's going to come in and save everything. And you can, that stuff trickles down to like on the field too, because of how much burden they've put on him to activate all of these wide receivers, to do it in like the hardest scheme possible that doesn't give him really anything to truly build on here. They have one of, I saw Nate Tice tweet about this today, they have like one of the widest formation lengths in the NFL on third downs, like third and fourth down, you know, your typical man coverage downs, right? And these are all guys who can get open. Like, I've seen that with my own eyeballs here.
Yeah.
And this was the same. Honestly, this was the same in Seattle last year. Geno struggled throwing against man coverage. It's like, what are we talking about here? Like, you have Tyler Lockett, you have JSN, and you have DK Metcalf. Like, you have good wide receivers that can beat man coverage. What are we talking about here? But because of the pressure and because of how long these routes take to develop and because nothing's really building off of each other, you're asking a guy to do like pure progression plays, go 1 to 2 to 3 to 4, not based on defensive alignment or matchups or anything like that. So just puts so much stress on the quarterback. And yeah, a guy like Geno can do that because Geno's been in the league forever. Geno's been in the league for, you know, 10 years now at this point last year. And it's just different when, I don't care how good Caleb Williams is, he's never done this before. He's a rookie quarterback. No. So it just felt like they always put way too many eggs in this guy's basket and didn't like account for, hey, what if it takes a minute for him? And, you know, they put a lot on his plate. They had a coordinator here that I just think is obviously, I don't know where you, if you sat down to rank offensive coordinators, like where you would put Shane Waldron, he's probably not 32nd, but he's definitely not third either, you know? and so now at this point, you just got issues compounding on each other. Like, I can sit here and nitpick the way they use the wide receivers, the way they deploy these guys, and like the way they distribute the targets and all this stuff. Mm-hmm. But that's like, I don't know, 23rd on the list of problems in this offense. So,
sure.
I think now we're going to get to a point where they probably will make a change of play caller, I think, here, because they're just getting into that zone of what's the definition of insanity, just doing the same thing over and over again and expecting different results. To come out of the bye like this in these last three games and, you know, be absolutely pitiful, like, they'll probably make a change of play caller, probably won't change that much. But I would just be like, hey, how can we make sure that our quarterback here does, like, has useful reps the rest of the way, and then we'll figure out who the guy is to be the head coach and beyond to actually get this guy on track, because it's not Matt Eberflus, and obviously Shane Waldron is not it either.
It's a little bit of, I'm gonna be honest with you, I think it's a surprise to see him struggle this much, Caleb Williams, because quite frankly, when we talk about the bye week for rookies, usually that's a time when we see good rookies, I think, you know, take a, even if it's a little baby step forward, but a step forward. You know, and in the 4 weeks prior to the bye, we had really seen tangible progression from Caleb Williams. That first week against Tennessee, he was atrocious. One of the worst quarterbacks we've seen, we saw there in week one. He had 93 yards passing, looked completely lost. He didn't look like he'd ever played the position before. Man, he looked terrible. Then he started getting a little bit better and a little bit better. Listen, from weeks 3 through 6, that 4-game stretch, pretty good situation, right? We're talking about a couple of different 300-yard performances. He had 9 passing touchdowns versus 3 interceptions. You'll take that all day long from your rookie quarterback, right? So, and again, we talk about the progression of Caleb Williams. And over that 4-game stretch, I really honestly thought, and we saw real tangible progression from Caleb Williams through those 4 weeks. So then you hit the bye, Matt, and you're thinking, all right, he's got Washington and Arizona coming up. These are some decent matchups for him to kind of sort of, again, build on that momentum. And I don't know what happened after the bye, Matt, but it has been absolutely atrocious after the bye. I do think I see a lot of hesitancy for him to make mistakes. It's almost like he's scared to let it go. He's not letting it rip. And that is not the quarterback they drafted. My God, at USC, this guy was an absolute risk taker. A huge gunslinger. He didn't care about no coverage. Are you kidding me? He's going to squeeze that ball. He's going to squeeze that ball wherever he can, man. And I just think over the last 3 weeks, he looks completely and utterly like not the same guy, where he is not squeezing it. I mean, shoot, I'd almost rather see a couple interceptions in here. Honestly, as long as they're not like, oh my God, why are you going to that? But like, you know, one of these contested type of, you know, throws that maybe gets tipped up and picked off. I'd almost rather see that at this point, because man, the way that he is holding onto this ball with absolutely no answer and no confidence to just let it rip, man, it's tough to watch.
Yeah, I mean, he's third in the NFL in sack rate behind Deshaun Watson and Will Levis, guys who obviously are among the worst quarterbacks in the league, and also guys who haven't started the full season. So he's been beat up, and you know, taking sacks is almost as bad as throwing an interception. Like, you take a sack, the odds that you're going to have a successful drive just go down the cliff.
Yeah, plummets.
And he's obviously taken more sacks than basically anybody else that started the entire season. So it's been really bad. I agree with you that he just doesn't even look like the same quarterback prospect that we saw in college, which this is what I'm not saying that Caleb Williams is going to bust, but like my whole point to begin this was that I think if you're going to ruin a young quarterback, and most quarterbacks are ruined and most quarterbacks are failed more than they fail, this is how you would do it. And this is what it would look like. And, you know, you're right. He does play as if, like, I think in order to let it rip, you got to have confidence in what you're doing and what's around you. And he just plays like a guy who has no confidence in what he's seeing and what he's doing. And I don't blame him, because I think this group of players, like, people get caught up on like the off-season hype phrases and certain things like that, and you know, plenty of people said it. I'm sure I was one of them. Like, can you picture a situation that's better for a first overall quarterback to be dropped into? And people said that a lot in the off-season, and then people will still kind of like hold that against the player now, like, well, this is a good situation. His surrounding cast and situation is way better than like what Jaden Daniels or Bo Nix or anybody's got going on. The games have started, folks. The games have happened. Like, we now have 10 weeks of film on these teams, and this is not the best situation a young quarterback has ever been dropped into. These wide receivers are not even close to playing at the level that most people thought they would be playing at this year. Like, I think Rome has been good for a rookie. I think DJ Moore, we've talked about it, again, another guy that might not be confident in what he's being asked to do, and I think that has bled into the way he's played this year. Keenan Allen's not an effective player anymore. No. The offensive line, and they're still trying to design things around Keenan Allen. It's just it's so hard to watch. Like, I don't know what Shane Waldron does. I don't know what he watches I don't know what he's watching on film. I don't know what the hell they did during that bye week, but it sure as hell was not a lot of self scouting. Let's put it that way. So this is not a good situation to be in. And again, if I'm in charge in Chicago, I'm somebody in charge of making decisions here. All I care about is just who's going to be with us in 2025,
yeah,
and how do we get those people on the right track. That's Caleb Williams. That's DJ Moore. That's Rome Odunze. That's some of the offensive linemen here, who obviously they've dealt with injuries there, and it's only made it worse. I'd just get Shane Waldron out of the building just because we're moving on from that. I'd probably think about getting – I don't know who – like, look at the Saints this week. They just promoted, you know – Rizzy, the special teams coach Love Riz, it. The yeah. Riz God, and like, let's just get the special teams coordinator as the head coach. I don't know. Let Thomas Brown, who obviously was the offensive coordinator for the disgusting Panthers offense last year, but like, let's give him a shot at play caller just to change things up, and let's see what's going on here.